Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws because they free March 6th. It's my dad's birthday today. So happy birthday.
Shout out to your family.
Happy birthday. That's awesome. One of our longtime listeners of the show. Stan Carey Tassopoulos. Yeah, Papa Toss. He is an Atlanta Braves fan. He grew up in Atlanta. Mm. We did in our last baseball preview talk about the AL East and the NL East. So if you want to hear our over-unders, our hot takes, and our predictions for those two divisions in the MLB, go check out that show. Go to our YouTube. Check out those videos about all those different teams. We are going to do another prediction show for the MLB. We are in spring training right now. My guy Wyatt Langford hit a couple of bombs over this past weekend.
Pretty good.
My guy Evan Carter hit a home run, a leadoff home run, a grand slam, and robbed a home run in one game. The
pretty
Rangers
good.
Won the World Series last year, so I'm feeling pretty good. So why don't we talk about the NL West and the AL West? We'll talk about Nick's team. We'll talk about my team. Josh, you can give your contributions, but we're not going to talk about your team because we already did that, and it wasn't that exciting, and it was a little sad. But I think Nick and I will have more positive outlooks on
it. It wasn't
team.
Even as sad as it could have been.
Like, no, you were like relatively optimistic about it.
Borderline, and that we discussed the Red Sox before Giolito went down for the season with a partially torn UCL. So that was prior to that even. So it's only gotten worse for Boston. But yes,
so we're gonna go through both those divisions. We're gonna go. We're gonna look at the over unders. You guys are both gonna weigh in on where you stand for the individual teams. You're gonna give me a breakout player for each team, and then a hot take for that particular team. Do you guys want to start in the AL or the NL?
We can start in the AL. We were talking about your Rangers. We can start with them, I feel like.
Okay. Let's do that.
The reigning World Series champs.
The reigning World Series champs who are not predicted to have the best record in their division. The team that is, the Houston Astros, no surprise. Their over-under is 93.5 wins. Nick, what say you? Are you over under that number?
I'm going to go over. I feel like they're a team that has consistently been at the top, fighting their way into a playoff spot every single year, powerhouse. And I think the slow start that they had last year doesn't happen this year. I think that they're back right at it like they were last 2 years before.
Okay, Josh?
Yeah, I think the Astros are phenomenal. I think they're in a situation. I'm going over easily. I think they had Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Springer. Two of those four are gone. And then they've ushered in Tucker and Yordan Alvarez, who could be better than all four of those guys, and that's including Altuve, who I think will still make the Hall of Fame, all things considered. And their rotation's great, and their bullpen's the best in baseball.
And
yeah, and it got better with Josh Hader.
It very much did. Breakout player for the Stros?
I'm going to cheat here. He was about to break out. He had a bunch of strikeouts. Hunter Brown, his ERA kind of ballooned. He started off great and then fizzled out a little bit. I think he puts it all together this year. I think you'll see a bounce back from Christian Javier, too, who's got great strikeout stuff. But to me, Hunter Brown elevates his game to that number two role behind Framber Valdez and gives Verlander a little bit of a cushion to come back and ease into that number three role for a good run for Houston.
And then they still have Christian Javier.
Yeah.
Nick, what about you?
I mean, I think it's hard to really pick a breakout player because a lot of those players have already broken out. You know, at the end of the day, they've gotten so many guys on that roster that can vie for an MVP spot. But I'll just throw a zinger out here and say Jake Myers, center fielder. I think he has an opportunity to shine in a big lineup that has a lot of pop, and you know, he can get on base and hopefully a lot of guys can drive him in. Really all he has to do is just, you know, get on base and steal some bags and, you know, do his role, and at the end of the day I think they're gonna have success.
Yeah, I'm not weighing in for all the teams in these two divisions, but I will on this one. Diaz is gonna be their starting catcher this year, and he's really gonna cement himself as one of the better catchers in the MLB.
You can weigh in, bro. Don't be shy.
Well, I did. Okay.
I mean, I will say, I mean, like, we've seen so many good seasons out of Yordan. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he has another career year and just gets better and better.
Mm. He's still so young. Yeah, he's ridiculous. Could he cement himself as the most terrifying hitter at the plate this year by the end of the season?
No doubt.
I think it's a possibility. Okay.
All he has to focus on is hitting.
Yeah, it's true. What about a hot take for this team?
I would say my hot take is they lead not only their division, not only their league, but the entire Major League Baseball in wins.
And it's still not even a scorcher, because I think that that's very doable.
I'll tell you why it's a scorcher, because not to tease it, the over-under for the Dodgers is 103.5, which is 10 games up on the Astros.
Right.
So I think...
And we already mentioned in our NL East preview that the Braves have an over-under of 101.5.
Which I took over there, too. So right. I still think better than the Braves, better than the Dodgers. Their rotation's really good. We've spoken about all the guys in their lineup. But we touched on it. They added Hader, right? They added Hader to Presley, who's now the setup man. And then one guy who's not the sexiest of names, of Brian Abreu, like, had a ridiculous second half of the year as a reliever. So they have a great bullpen.
Nick, a hot take?
Hot takes are tough, especially in baseball, because, like, everything looks so lined up. But I'm going to go with, like, a trade acquisition maybe.
Oh, that's fun.
For the trade deadline. I think they go out and get a big outfield bat, whether that be Christian Yelich or someone else that's available. I think they go out and get somebody.
Okay.
Cool.
I like that a lot.
I think Yelich would be a good fit.
Yeah, thanks for throwing out the name, too. That would be – Yelich to the Astros would be
would
be crazy. That would make a ton of noise.
I would say, sweet. Like, Mike Trout, but I just don't see the Angels dealing within division. No. Like, if they're trading Mike Trout, they're not keeping him in the AL West.
Yelich's contract is sketchy for that deal, but he's been good, and he doesn't fit. I'm with you. I feel like I had this thought the other day. I don't think Yelich fits in the timeline of that team anymore.
In the Brewers' time.
The Brewers' time.
No, not at all. He needs to go to a team that's ready to go.
Yeah.
That he doesn't have to be the guy.
Yeah. I think it'd be a fun fit. I like that.
Okay. We will move to the team with the second best odds to win the division. My Texas Rangers, the reigning World Series champs. Their over-under is 88.5 wins. Josh, what say you? Over-under.
They just won. I can't go under. I'm going to go over. This is one of the – there's another team in the NL West that I'm kind of sketchy on, and I actually went under there. The reason why I'm not going under, I don't love their bullpen. I think their rotation has question marks, especially with Scherzer and DeGrom being out until later in the year. Their defense is insane. And their lineup for the pop is talked about all the time with Garcia, Lowe, Heim at the catcher spot, and obviously the middle of the infield is incredible.
Yep.
And they've got a lot of great young outfielders coming up. All that being said, for me, their defense was tops in the league, and that hasn't changed.
No.
So they're a really strong defensive and offensive team. So that leaves me to go over, and they get to play the A's and the Angels 19 times a pop.
Yeah, that helps a lot. And also just the fact that their manager knows what he's doing, and he knows how to get his team to the promised land, right? And we can't afford to be a team that wins less than 88 games. If we want to be in the playoff, and we want to be in the hunt once again to win the World Series.
And he has a track record of getting a team there multiple times.
Right.
It's not like a one and done type thing. Yeah, I'll go over here as well. I think they'll definitely have over 90 wins. So that gives you a 2.5 win cushion there. My breakout player, does Evan Carter count?
I think it does. I think it has to count just because of the amount of games that he'll play a full season as a starting outfielder.
He was a guy that was brought up late in the season last year, but probably would have won, probably could have won the Rookie of the Year. But, you know, does he qualify as a rookie this year, technically? Yeah so he can win it this year. He's a five-tool player. He's one of those guys that, you know, might be considered one of the premier outfielders when we fast forward 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was mine as well. He could have a Corbin Carroll type year. He's that fast. He's a good fielder. right? He could hit. So, and he's in a great lineup. Like Nick was talking about, hit the lineup of the Astros and, you know, his breakout player in Myers and, you know, having that protection within the lineup. I think you have that with all those guys yeah. there, and you just kind of got to get on and you're going to be in really good shape and you're going to sell out of good pitches. So but Evan Carter's mine.
It's also pick your poison too, though, because they do have a lot of great young guys like Josh Young and Jonah Heim. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if those
Wyatt
guys.
Langford.
Yeah, exactly. Another one. Jonah Heim had a great year last year, but I think he could even get better.
Yeah. No Garver.
And no Garver there. Yeah. Right. That was a factor, of course. Okay, third team in the AL West, the Seattle Mariners. Their over-under is 87.5.
Hot take? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Give us your hot take. Yeah.
Because I was excited.
They go back-to-back.
Yeah, yeah, Nick's hot take was a trade for the Astros. My hot take's a trade for the Rangers. My biggest issue with the Jurors is the bullpen. And I think they make a trade within the AL and get Emmanuel Clase, who, because I don't think the Guardians are going to be – I don't think the Guardians are going to be in it this year.
I would love that.
And I think that's who they go and get.
Yeah. I'll take and say that they have the most all-stars in the AL.
Ooh, that's fun.
Maybe they'll have the most all-stars in actually all of baseball.
That's hotter.
I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Yeah, Clase, if he ended up being our closer, I mean, he's spooky. Like, opposing hitters, when his stuff is right – He's almost untouchable. He's nasty.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit last year, but I think he'll get back on the map
yeah.
this year.
But he had spurts where, I mean, yeah, he's nasty. Okay, so the Seattle Mariners, over-under, 87.5 wins. Josh, you start this one.
Over.
Okay.
Yeah, over for me. I just didn't any reason why their lineup, because their lineup is a little sketchy to me. Like, I think they're kind of trying to have to manufacture and find some wins, but I think that's okay. I think they're comfortable doing that because at the end of the day, they have a guy in there that is a premier top five offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably have the best 1-5 rotation in the American League, maybe in all of baseball. So with that, good bullpen, I'm going over.
Nick?
You know, I'm going to go under.
Ooh.
I feel like they're a team that we've been pretty hot on over the past couple of years, and they were, you know, increasingly getting better and better, but I think they make a little dip this year, and it's tough playing in a division where you do have, you mentioned they play the Athletics and the Angels 19 times apiece, but they also have to play the Rangers and the Astros 19 times apiece. So, like, that's a wash in my book, and I think, you know, they're good for the third best team in this division, but ultimately, I just don't think they have enough firepower. J-Rod's amazing, but at the end of the day, it's like I want to see more bats in there that can really go toe-to-toe with the Rangers and the Astros. I just don't think they do.
Yeah, I think for J-Rod, agreed. It's also about it's about him having a better year than he did last year, especially in the first 2 months of the season, right?
Because yeah, he turned it up.
He started quite poorly. Yes. I mean, to say that he was J-Rod as we knew at the end of the year, at the beginning of the season last year, would be a lie. He was not good.
Yeah.
Straight up through the first 2 months of the season. And then he absolutely was fantastic when there was a tipping point and he turned it around. But you got to put together
some thump.
What?
They lost some thump with Eugenio Suarez and Teoscar Hernandez leaving.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes to the firepower that Nick's talking about. And like what you're saying is J-Rod, you need a full season out of it. He was amazing. Like, but those first 2 months, he left a lot to be desired.
And one guy can't carry an MLB team. We know that.
Which we'll see in a hot second.
Okay, so a hot take, Josh, from you?
Yeah, but I'm really excited about this rotation. I think George Kirby was an all-star last year. He finished I think, eighth in the Cy Young voting. I'm going to take it up a notch. I think he finishes in the top three and even really makes a move to win the Cy Young.
Okay, Nick, ooh, hot take for the Mariners?
Hot take. I think J-Rod has a down year.
Oh, that is a hot take.
Yeah, I think that trying to do too much there, just because, like I said, not enough firepower, being like the one lone superstar, trying to vie for that one offensive, you know, all-star spot, and he'll probably get in there because the fan vote, but ultimately I think he has a down year where he goes under in home runs, maybe over in stolen bases, but his average dips.
Wow.
So if he's not having a good year, who would have a good year? Who's your breakout player for the Mariners?
Breakout guy, look, this is a guy that I've wanted. This is a guy that I've wanted to be good for a long time, partially because he was involved in a Padres trade a while back, Taylor Trammell. He was a guy that came over from the Reds to the Padres, and then the Padres shipped him over to Seattle in a big package for Austin Nola. Ultimately, like, proved to be fine because Taylor Trammell hasn't really amounted to anything, but he's still super young. He's had a pretty nice spring. And if he can get out there and, you know, play good ball, he just needs to get on base and steal bags, and that's really going to be the gist of it.
Yeah. He's got some nice pop.
Yeah.
It's just about getting on base.
He just hasn't shown it though, like in Major League Baseball. Like he's had, he was a really highly touted prospect coming out of high school, and in the Reds organization, he was their number one guy.
Yeah.
He came over to the Padres, and it was very short lived with us. And I think it was kind of a sign that they were willing to move away from him so quickly, which they did, and he hasn't really done anything. But like I said, still young. There's a lot of late bloomers in baseball, and he could be one of them.
He had a lot of projected pop.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And so that has to come to fruition, and that would help. That would work against your Julio Rodriguez kids. Like, they need another guy. They need as many guys as they possibly can to put around Julio to give him an environment where he can really win at-bat to at-bat. Okay, Josh, who's your breakout player?
Yeah, mine's Dominic Canzone. I think the Mitch Haniger vibe is who's ironically back with the team in the Robbie Ray deal. They sign Robbie Ray. He gets hurt. They trade him to San Francisco, bring back Mitch Haniger. The old Norwegian buyback actually occurs. Dominic Canzone, 26-year-old. He's got a great plate discipline. He's a really, really strong eye. He could hit. So I think that if it's not Taylor Trammell, I think
there's like always a guy in Seattle that does that.
Exactly. There's always like a 26-year-old dude in Seattle out of nowhere. And it's like, all right, this guy's going to be good. And if he can stay healthy, and if he stays healthy, he's good. Like Mitch Haniger, like he had 39 home runs 1 year, which is just like just a random year to have a random guy to have 39 home runs. But
okay,
that's my breakout player.
Okay. Let's go. Let's continue in the division. We'll go to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They're over under 72.5 wins. Nick, what say you?
Oof, man. It's hard, man, because like
they, is it?
I mean, like
they just lost Ohtani.
I know. But at the end of the day, it's like they still have Trout. Like they still like say you will about Rendon, but like they still have him. You know, they've got a good young core. It's pitching. That's the thing. Like if they sign Snell, like maybe that puts them over the hump, but I think right now, like 72 is a pretty good number to be at. So 72.5, I'll go over, but I'll go like 74.
You know what? That just sold me, honestly. I'm going under completely. They stink. they're terrible.
That sold you?
On how bad they are. Like, that was like a half, like Trout. Like, he's great, but like, he's like had injury after injury after injury. Rendon? Come on, dude.
All right,
how do we feel about Rendon? You know, like, Rendon is done.
Dude, I mean, do they have a better lineup than the Nationals or the Athletics? Like,
but
yes.
The A's and the Nats, those are sub-70 win teams.
Yeah, I think the Nats were
play that 70-win team 19 times, as you said. You know?
I'm going under. I don't think they have a lot. I think I'll give you my hot take, too, just to cut into it. Like, I think Trout's gone. I think he's there and it's like over. Like, what are we doing here?
Ultimately, I do think that they're going to trade a lot of players. So that could also feed into it. But look, 74 wins is still a bad team. Like, I'm not saying they can win 80 games.
No,
like,
I get, you're right.
For the sake of over under, like, I think they win 74.
You also, you never know. Sometimes the juju changes. Like, if Trout gets out of there and then, like, there's there's like no pressure on any of these guys and they just kind of play free and, like, it actually, they end up with 75 wins and you're like, okay.
I honestly don't think he's the only guy moving too. So this will be part of my hot take, but also my breakout player, Mickey Moniak. I think ultimately he goes somewhere. He's going to be a hot commodity. He's still super young. He went number one overall in the draft when he got drafted, right? Is that right?
Yeah, correct.
I mean, he's a guy that's like always had a huge pedigree. And I think now's the time. I mean, he had a great season last year, but I think now's the time for him to really find himself on a contender and actually give him the love and the development that he really needs. And I think he'll find himself on a good team mid-season, but that's because he played so well this season.
That's sad because it's like you gave your breakout player and your hot take, and they're combined in one that he's going to get traded too. And it's like, that's the saddest thing you possibly can have. It's like your breakout player then gets
they can reset
off.
This thing.
They could reset it. I mean, ultimately, you spin it on its head, right? Like you trade Trout and you trade Mickey Moniak, you're getting a lot of good prospects in return for that because Mickey returns a good amount, I think, because he's cheap and he's young.
If he's playing well, yeah. And Taylor Ward too is my
and
breakout.
Center field is a very position that is sought after right now.
Yeah, Ward is my breakout player. I think he kind of broke out a couple years ago. We had a down year last year with some injuries. I think he comes back and is unbelievably strong this year, and he puts the barrel on the bat and is a bright spot in this lineup that could have some lows.
Okay. Moving on to the last team in the division, this over-under basically sounds like a good NBA team. We're talking the Athletics. Where are they? Are they Oakland? Are they Vegas? Who even really cares? Because this team is going to be so bad. Their over-under is 57.5 wins. Josh, I'll let you go first.
Oh, under. They're going to stink.
Yeah, I mean, way under. I think they might break a record, honestly. What's the record for the most, like, wins or least wins in a season? Is it, like, 30?
There's got to be a team. I think the Tigers, a couple, when we were younger, had, like, 40-something.
46 or something like that?
Wins, yeah, they might crack 40.
They're terrible. They actually have a couple of guys, though, that are, yeah, like, I mean, they
got
horrible.
They got, like Brent Rooker, but that was, like, their only guy. I mean, Estrue Ruiz is super fast. He almost, like, held the bag-stealing title, but... I mean, they're not.
Oh my gosh!
This is not a team. This is a AAA team. Like, this is a AAA.
No, I think they're better than that. I think there's a couple. Zach Geloff is good. I'm in on him. I think he could be good at the second baseman. I think he's solid. I think he's a guy that could be 20-20, maybe even 20-20, 25-25.
The MLB loss record was set in 1899 by the Cleveland Spiders. They were 34-120, so they only played 154 games. But the 1962 Mets were 40-120.
Do you think they're worse than that?
40 wins? 40. No, I mean, I think they get like...
Between 40 and 50.
They probably get between 40 and 50. Like, 40 is a lot of... Like, that's a lot of losing.
They have one kid at the back of the bullpen. I don't know if he's their closer. They use him as their closer. I don't know what they're going to do there. I don't know how many save opportunities they're going to even have. Mason Miller is pretty good.
Okay.
He's got good K stuff.
I feel like... Do you want to clarify who y'all's official breakout players are?
Zach Geloff is mine.
Zach Geloff?
Kind of already started, too.
It's... I mean, like... Does it matter at this point?
You don't have to. You can decline. I decline in the Blue Jays.
I mean, honestly, a lot of their guys are playing well this spring. A lot of their outfielders have been hitting well. So, like, any of those guys can, quote-unquote, break out. But, like, I'll go to the bullpen because I feel like they're the type of team that, like, you know, if they have a good bullpen star, like, he's their guy that makes the All-Star game.
And sure.
Mitch Spence, he's been pitching pretty well this spring. Where's number 69? You know, gotta love that. But
nice.
You know, middle reliever, back end guy. You know, I think at the end of the day, he's got good K rate, so I like that.
Okay, is there a hot take besides they're gonna be the worst team in baseball?
They're not gonna be the worst team in baseball.
They're not. Okay, that's
hot. That's my hot take. They're not the worst team in baseball this year.
Hot take: they have more fans in attendance this year than they've had in the past 3 years.
Ooh,
because they want people, they like the fans, like want them to keep them in Oakland, so they want to continue to boycott the ownership, yeah, and get out there.
They out off of that. My hot take, another hot take: the A's lead the league in streakers.
Streakers,
yes, they set an MLB record for most streakers.
I love that. That's great.
Most wongs out, dongs out in baseball.
Nice.
Okay, all male streakers, I guess. Got it. Okay, we'll
there could
go
be some tatatas.
Okay, we'll go to the NL West. Going to be
there could be some papas fritas.
An incredibly, incredibly exciting division in baseball for the last 5 years. We'll start at the top here with the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're over under
the top. That's the top.
No, come on, dude. We've been
just
here.
Just by over under. We can define what we think is the top after. Their over under is 103.5 wins.
Woo.
Nick, I'll let you start this one. What do you think?
Man, that's a lot of wins, but they hit it last year, right? It like they crushed that.
Yeah.
I imagine they get it again. They added Ohtani.
And Glasnow.
And Glasnow. Like, at the end of the day, it's like they got so much better. And what, four MVPs? Kershaw, Freeman, yeah. Betts, Ohtani?
Yeah.
Like, come on. They're going to win 110 games, maybe 120 games.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
So you're over, too?
I'm easily over, yeah.
Okay. We know they're four MVPs. Do you guys have a breakout player for the Dodgers?
It's the biggest name out there for their breakout player is Bobby Miller, and I think everyone knows that he's going to bust out and be epic for them in the rotation. I think the only thing that could get in the way of their rotation is health and adjustment. So let's say my breakout player is Bobby Miller, right? And let's say he doesn't do what I think he's going to do and a lot of people think he's going to do. Let's say Yamamoto, who, you know, was great coming over. Let's say he doesn't adjust well. Mm-hmm. Glasnow's had injury issues. Bueller doesn't come back right. Kershaw's already hurt. Paxton's old. Like, they have a lot of great arms that are probably going to be awesome. But they have arms in their rotation where things can go wrong, for sure.
Okay.
So, and then Ohtani's, you don't have him on the bump this year.
Yeah.
So you don't have that luxury.
This is kind of boring, but I mean, Yamamoto's he's never pitched in a regular season game, so he's my breakout player. it's kind of foolproof.
Pick him while you can.
Yeah, $300 million breakout player.
No love to Sweet Baby Gav.
Gavi Lux?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously was hurt last year.
Yeah, I would love it. I mean, Gavi Lux has no pressure anymore, so he could come in and do his thing.
It's like a situation for me, though, where they have too many, like, stars in that lineup. That, yeah. Like, someone has to not be that great. So, like, I'll, like, defer that to, like, Gavin Lux and, like, Miguel Vargas and those guys. Like, they can't all break out.
They have Betts, Freeman, Otani, Teoscar Hernandez, Will Smith.
Muncy.
And then on top of that, they have like
Chris Taylor,
and Outman. Kike's back. Hayward's there. Outman's a good glove and good player. Like, and the aforementioned sweet baby Gav.
Okay. Is there a hot take for the Dodgers? I mean, you kind of already gave one on the win count that you mentioned.
I did.
Yeah.
I'll give a double. They break the record.
Okay.
Over 116 in wins. But.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Say it.
That they get knocked out in the playoffs. They make it to the
NLCS.
The CS, which is something they didn't do, you know, last year or the year before that. So
I think they get bumped by the Braves.
They get up a little bit further. They go to the NLCS, but they ultimately do what they do best, and they choke in the playoffs.
You weren't here last week. I said the Braves are going to win the World Series.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, we'll move to the next team in the division, the Arizona Diamondbacks. Their over under is 83.5 wins. Josh, would say
easy nuts on the line, family on the line, over. I think this is the most disrespectful
that's
team
so
in
disrespectful
baseball.
They were literally just in the World
so
Series.
Disrespectful. It's a disrespectful line, and they're going to take notice to it. They have it all.
I wonder, we'll have to look this up. I'll do some research on this. When the last time that both the teams in the World Series had over unders under 90 wins.
Please do some research.
The next year.
Because and neither were top in their division.
Right. I'll do some research on that. Okay,
unbelievable disrespect.
So you're over. Nick, are you in agreement on that?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, Nick, a breakout player for the D-backs?
It's tough. I mean, I feel like a lot of these guys have already broken out, and they just kind of have to continue the mold and just do what they're doing. I mean, he's a guy that, like, he played good ball last year, but, you know, I think he'd definitely take some steps up, and he's having a good spring. Alec Thomas. He's their center fielder. Is that your guy too?
That was my guy too. He was a top. He's like a top prospect.
And he spells his name like a little spicy. A-L-E-K.
Yeah, he's the last guy that has to break out. These guys.
Right?
So they have a really great defensive lineup, great offensive lineup, and their pitching is really good.
Yep. Hot take for the D-backs, Josh?
They're fourth in the NL in wins.
Okay. Braves, the Dodgers.
The Phillies than them.
I think that hot take for me, I think they missed the playoffs by one game.
Oh, no.
I think they're great, but I think that, like, to get over the hump this year for the wild card, they're, like, either a half game or a game out.
Oh, that's sad.
Okay. Moving on to the next team in the NL West, the San Francisco Giants. Their over-under is 82.5. Josh, what do you think?
This was the team that I was divulging earlier in the...
Yes, I gathered that. I know the listeners might not have known because it was enigmatic and you're just a cryptic son of a bitch. But, yeah.
I'm under...
Adjust my pants, man. I got all bungeed up right now.
Okay, you're good.
Nick's up, but the Giants are down, says Josh. Yes?
No,
So you're under 82.5.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why quickly. Outside of Camilo Duval, I don't think their bullpen's that great. I think outside of Logan Webb, I think their rotation has a lot of question marks.
Okay.
I think I like the defense they added.
Sure.
Their rotation was tops last year in ground balls. And ironically, that hurt Logan Webb, who was one of the tops in batting average and balls in play.
Mm-hmm.
So I think adding Matt Chapman, adding a guy like Jung Ho Lee, like adding some good defense for the San Francisco Giants is going to help them. I still think they go under, but I would not be shocked if they're over.
Yeah, I'm going to go under
too.
This is
like, you're kind of betting against the Steelers right now. Like, they're over under.
Exactly.
It's a bit of what it's like with the Giants. But
yeah, but I feel like it's what Giants team are going to get, because we've had situations before where they've have been disrespected with, like, the over under they've put together, and then they exceed expectations, and then the other way around too, where it's like they have a high over under and then they're just not great. They're so average. Very interesting signings. I was really jealous about two of the signings they made this year. Soler being one of them. Mm. I thought he'd be a great addition to the Padres because he just got a great, you know, a lot of pop and something the Padres have been missing. And then Junhyun Lee as well. Like, I feel like he was a guy that was this close to coming over the Padres, has a good relationship with Ha-Seong Kim. And we were building, like, the Korean super team, but ultimately, you know, think he got offered a lot more money in San Francisco, and you know, he fits well there. He's my breakout guy. I think he's going to be awesome there. He's probably going to park a few balls in the bay, just right on par with just the brand for him. But cool that Korea, you know, that's kind of like the West Coast league for them now. The KBO is just like all the West Coast guys, because we also signed some other Korean guys as well. But yeah, under for me. And ultimately, as a Padres fan, like, I can't pick three of these teams to go over.
No,
right?
It's bad. Bad juju. It's bad vibes.
Yeah.
Tyro Estrada. Estrada is my breakout player. He kind of did it last year. I'm always picking guys that kind of did it, but I think he takes the next jump. I think he could be a 2020 guy at second base for the Giants, play good defense, play across the infield if he needs to. I mean, at least in the middle. So I think that's my breakout player.
Hot take?
Jung Ho Lee wins Rookie of the Year. Ooh. Over Yamamoto.
Ooh. Yeah, that's not a bad one. I like it, but I think I'm going to go more of just like the whole team.
Go.
I think some of those contracts are really going to suck for them. I think like the Matt Chapman, I mean, at the end of the day, they got a good deal, but I think that like they just are too top heavy on like the veterans that they have right now, that they need to get younger, and they ended up getting older.
Mm. Interesting. I like that perspective.
Kind of like what the Patriots did when they brought in that crew of wide receivers and tight ends. Wasted a lot of money.
It always comes back.
Chapman is such a giant, though, at the end of the day. It's
And
they're still in play for Snell. That's another team to be, you know, keeping your eye out on for. It's crazy that, like, we're sitting here in, like, Padres and Dodgers literally square off in a meaningful game on March 20th in 2 weeks, and Snell is still unsigned.
Absolutely ridiculous. Okay. We are moving on to the San Diego Padres.
Oh.
Their over-under is 81.5 wins.
I saw somewhere else it was 78.
Really?
Yeah. I guess it's bumped up a little bit.
It depends where you look, and I guess depends. It could change.
78
right?
would be disrespectful, would it not?
I would have taken that.
Disrespectful? No. Would I take the over? Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Nick, your team.
You go.
Start with you, 81.5. What say you?
Over, 100%. Look, they went over last year. They were NLCS the year before that. I mean, they didn't go over on what they projected, but they were over 81 last year, I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
They went to the NLCS the year before that. I mean, this team lost Juan Soto, sure. Blake Snell is a guy that is still unsigned, so he can technically return.
Okay.
But ultimately, you and I both agree on this about Snell. He wasn't the type of guy who's really going to make or break your team. He lasts six innings at most. Doesn't really go through the whole game. So ultimately, you got to rely on your bullpen a lot. And luckily, we have a strong bullpen. Still have Manny Machado. Still have Fernando Tatis. Still have Ha-Seong Kim. Still have Xander Bogaerts. People forgot about how he was a batting title winner multiple years for the Sox. He had a down year for the Padres. But what's a down year? 280, you know, good for 20 home
Silver
runs.
Silver like, but yeah, no, he's good.
He's, like, still pretty good, you know, and at the end of the day, like, Cronenworth had a really tough year, but I feel like he's made some adjustments that might prove well for him. Ha-Seong Kim broke out last year, and I really think that he's just going to continue to add on that because it's a contract year. He wants to get paid more money.
Yeah.
But people still forget about Dando. I feel like people are discrediting him. There was so much hype about him until he got hurt and then ultimately got caught with the PEDs to get healthy again. And he had a sneaky season last year, won a platinum glove, you know, in right field, his first year playing outfield. I think he's due for a huge year, 40 home run type year, 40 steal type year. I don't know about the average, but defense goes on par with that. And I think the biggest thing here is if the rotation is able to really stick together and stay healthy. There's a lot of questions there. Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, those are the obvious ones, right? Like, both injury history, both locked in for Padres contracts. But you ship off Juan Soto, you bring in Michael King, a guy that Yankees fans are really pissed off to lose. You also get Vasquez and Brito and Thorpe, who's a guy who, you know, is going to be in the farm for a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's like, those are pretty good, useful arms that we're going to add to the rotation. And hopefully they're guys that not necessarily be aces, but are true, like, durable, reliable number three pitchers.
Okay. And is there a particular breakout player that you want to highlight? Well,
I mean, this is a kind of an obvious one, but Jackson Merrill is looking like he's going to be the center fielder for the Padres in opening day.
Oh, wow.
Which
that's intense.
He's a top 2 prospect in the organization. He's a top 15 prospect in all of baseball. If it wasn't for Ethan Salas, he'd be number 1 in the Padres organization. But he was a shortstop his whole career, and he's been making the switch over to outfield this spring because obviously there's a logjam at shortstop. Hoslin Kim is playing shortstop this year. Xander's playing second. Fernando's playing right. So we don't have a center fielder. The only issue that I'm thinking about right now is, like, are we putting him on the opening day roster because we just don't have any other options, or because it's actually good for him and that he's actually
ready
to go there?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both.
I do think it is. You don't have many other options. They don't want to add anyone in free agency. They don't make a flashy trade. They're trying to cut back on salary. They're well within their reach right now of what they want to be at. And I think Merrill is the type of kid that, like, he's going to be kind of the prince that was promised type deal, where he had a lot of hype but also lived up to the hype, because everything that he's done at every single level so far in the minors,
he's a good prospect,
has been great. He's got a great mentality. He said yes to everything that they've asked him to do, and he's performed at every level. And I think that this is going to be no different.
And fortunately for him, like, the pressure will be minimized from, like, national standpoint. From 100%. A national media standpoint, because you have Tatis and you have Machado on this team.
Yeah, he doesn't have to
a ton of pressure.
Yeah, he doesn't have to hit 1-5. You know, he can sit there at the bottom and you know, try to, you know, hit off fastballs. You know, Heath Bell says it all the time. He's like, the guys down in the order get more fastballs. They get more pitches 100%, down the middle. Yeah, so it's going to be easier for him.
Yeah.
Breakout player for you, Josh?
I like y'all's catcher. I think Capistrano's going to be good. I think he's
nice swing.
I think he's already supposed to kind of broken out.
He's had injuries,
so I think that's a guy I'm excited about for them. But I will say the Michael King thing is really enticing for me. He's transitioned from reliever to starter. I'm not saying it's gonna be like a Chris Sale effect. We saw that happen with, like, another notable guy.
It sucks to lose Juan Soto, but I would say the saving grace about it is the reaction that Yankees fans had when they were losing Michael King.
No, he's like a legit piece, and he's probably, if they are going to go over, he'll be the reason why. I don't trust Darvish anymore. Musgrove is hit or miss for me. I think the rotation has a lot of questions. I think your bullpen is solid at best. I think it's a lot of wishful thinking over there. You lost Hader, who's probably the best closer in baseball. You lost the Cy Young. He probably is. You lost the Cy Young winner, who, I'm with you, and I've said this, and we have had many, many discussions about him being an overrated Cy Young winner and not a winning formula baseball player, because he can't go past 5 innings. I think King could actually, in retrospect, in some ways be better for the Padres versus him as a pitcher, yeah. Right? The best thing you have going is your lineup. If the team is fully healthy, they'll go over. If not, they'll go under. Like, if you have injury issues again, you'll go under. But I'll say my hot take is I think they have 3 all-star bats.
Okay. Nick, hot take?
I mean, how hot do we want to get here, huh?
Yeah, get hot, bro.
Your choice.
No, don't feed me, like, flaming coal.
But no, I know. I mean, it's wishful thinking to say they're going to win the World Series here, but I personally think that they're a playoff team. I really do. The team did not get that much worse. They really didn't. Like, ultimately, teams have gotten in with worse lineups and worse rotations.
They were so unfathomably disappointing last year that I need to see it to believe it. Well, they were so disappointed.
There's a lot of reasonings that you can throw at that. And ultimately, number one, maybe there was a disconnect in the locker room. They got rid of one of the guys that was literally headlining most of the news last year. Every report that I ever saw from reporters or people that were digging into things was that Juan Soto was a diva and never wanted to talk to Bob Melvin one-on-one, always had to have his agent involved or always had to have the intermediary. Also would gripe and complain about where he was at in the lineup. I feel like a lot of personalities. I feel like Bogaerts had a little bit of that too, right? Where he was getting shifted down when he came over to the Padres and they asked him, like, what position are you going to play? Like, Nando's here, Hoslin Kim's here, and he was like, shortstop. I'm a shortstop. And now we kind of got him to buy in a little bit. He's playing second base. Like, that's a big ego thing. That was a big thing that was
he's
in the
media.
He's
not a great glove at short.
Like, he played pretty well at short last
year. He's fine, but Kim's better.
Kim's way better. Kim's a gold glover. And ultimately, you want the best guy at that position, right? And I think there was a lot of egos involved last year. You know, Nando coming back is a big distraction, obviously. But I feel like Bob Melvin was not the guy to get all those guys in order. I feel like there was too many personalities. And there was a reason why he left. Like, he left Tatis, Machado. He left the city of San Diego to go over to San Francisco. Like, it's not that. Like, it's not like there's a big upgrade there. You
SF's
know?
Kind of a dump at points.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I guess he was in the Bay with Oakland. But it's like, come on. Like, you really didn't want to see this through. Like, you have superstars on your roster. So you got a new guy in there, Mike Schilt. we'll see what happens. He got the Cardinals to the playoffs multiple years, and then I think unfortunately got let go in the wrong ways. But maybe it's just a locker room thing. At the end of the day, like, baseball is such a vibes game. You know, guys got to be in their own heads.
KFC and, bros.
Exactly. It's like we've seen worse teams win World Series, and we've seen worse teams make the playoffs.
Yes. So I'll go over by a hair. I think they're the third team in the division ahead of the Giants. I am not going to be shocked if you guys go under at all. Will not be bat an eyelid. But if you guys go to the playoffs, I won't be shocked either. I think they could go either way.
High variance team, which is what they've been for the last
exactly. few years. It's not. Right? It's like, unless you're a Padres fan, it's not an over-under that you should be looking at to take. Is that fair?
Very.
It's too volatile.
Too volatile.
Okay. Last team in the division, the Colorado Rockies, 59 and a half wins. Under. Josh, let's say.
Not even close.
Is this the worst team in baseball?
Yes.
Okay.
You think they go less than Oakland?
Not only can you not pitch in there, they have no pitching, period. They have bad pitchers in a bad pitching area.
I mean, I would say their savings grace is they play in Colorado. Like, that's going to be the advantage for
them
for
some games.
They can
steal some easy games when their pitchers
maybe,
can't
but you know
throw,
that's an advantage too as well.
But you're playing half of your games in Colorado.
Yes, you're playing half of your games in Colorado. When the Dodgers come into Colorado, when you guys go into Colorado, realistically, here's how I look at it.
I mean, even Chapman and Soler, we just talked about it. Well, like, the Giants lineup's not great, but they got more pop than they had.
Well, the Rockies beat the Dodgers in a game. They, by laws of whatever, odds and whatnot, yeah, I'm sure they will. At the end of the day, am I going into the season on the under the assumption that the Dodgers are going to clean sweep the Rockies this season? Yes. Yes,
I'm sure there's a prop that you could take.
I might.
Yeah, maybe.
Here's what I would bet. I would bet that on the, if I'm wrong, I would bet them to win every game they play because their odds are going to be fantastic.
Okay. Will they have any redeeming breakout players on this team? Okay.
Yeah, no. They had some good guys last year too that broke out. Nolan Jones was good.
He's sweet.
I mean, this guy was like an everyday fielder for them last year, and he played pretty well. But Ezekiel Tovar,
great.
I think he's a guy that, you know, has got a lot of speed and has some surprising pop too, and super young. And I feel like he, not like Carlos Gonzalez type player, but like he's the type of guy who can like actually be a piece for the Rockies. You know, build off of him.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
Is he your same pick?
I took Nolan. I mean, I was thinking about him. I took Nolan Jones.
I feel like Nolan Jones already broke out, though.
That's fine.
He hit almost 300 last year, 20 bombs. Like,
I would say my breakout in his sense, he's like a real legitimate like all-star.
Okay.
Like, he's an all-star level player. A great fielder, too.
It'd be nice to have like a mainstay good player in Colorado.
I think he could be that guy.
Like, for multiple years, because we haven't had that, I feel like.
Yeah. The Bryan signing for them was so stupid. Also, like, stupid for both parties. Everybody. Like, why did he want to sign there?
Because he wants to smoke weed and live in Colorado and get paid.
Maybe.
Yeah. 100%. Why would you do that?
Can't smoke weed in California and get paid? Like,
you could. You could.
He was with the Giants. He could have gone with the Dodgers. Like,
but every team was like, but look, hindsight 2020, like, would you pay the guy?
Right.
I mean, he played well for the Giants. I feel like there was an offer there.
I feel like he's not worth the money. I think he's overhyped. Clearly not. I think he's overhyped.
Hot take?
Yeah, they're the worst team in the league.
Okay. Nick?
I don't think they're the worst team in baseball. God, like, what's their over-under again? 59?
59 and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I still think they're under there, but maybe they... I really can't think of anything.
Maybe
there's nothing appealing about
there
that.
There are the most home runs hit at that park in a season ever.
Okay, that's a good hot take.
Yeah, maybe like there's more concerts at Red Rocks this year than
wins
than home wins.
I'll say this. I'll say there's more people that go to the Red Rocks concerts. The Red Rocks attendance is higher than Coors Field attendance.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's pretty easy, no?
Is that a given?
So what, there's 81 games at home, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if their average attendance, if you want to do some quick maths for me, if their average attendance is like 15,000 people.
How much is Red? I don't know how much Red Rocks holds.
Red Rocks holds like 30, I don't know, 50. I'll look it up real
quick.
Look
it up, yeah.
The average regular season attendance at Colorado Rockies games in 2023 was 32K.
Okay.
A lot.
It's actually because it's close to the downtown Denver. A lot of people go to the game.
It's fun. Red Rocks is small. Red Rocks is 9,500, 9,545.
Yeah, I think we're fighting it up.
So I think, yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm riding. That's my hot take.
That means that, like, Red Rocks has to basically have, like, over 100 shows. More than that. They have to have, like, 150 shows.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the Rockies. Like, their fan base is they love the
it's
team.
It's a fun thing to go to.
I think the wins thing is better. I think more Red Rock shows this year than home wins.
Okay.
How many games into the season before we get like severe booing from the Rockies fans?
Two.
Okay.
Stink.
They're not a passionate fan base though. They're not Yankee.
That's
boos.
What I'm, they're like. Yeah, they're not, the Yankees will boo. They'll be up three runs. The Yankees fans will
exactly.
Boo.
You would think that they're super chill. So maybe like that's really telling you something. If they're yelling at them.
Maybe they wake up and start booing in September.
Okay, I'll do just a quick briefing on where we were on the AL West and the NL West. So in the AL West, you had the Stros. Both of you took the over 93.5. The Rangers, you both took the over 88.5. The Mariners, you both took the under, right?
No,
you took the over.
I took the under.
Nick took the under. That was 87.5 wins. The Angels, Nick, did you go over on this?
Yes, barely.
72.5. You went over. Josh, you went under.
I punted this thing.
And then you guys both went under 57.5 for the Athletics.
I feel like they're begging you to take the A's a little bit. Do you not think that?
For sure.
They're asking you to take the A's younger, the under for the A's. Does that scare you at all? Think about it.
What's the under again?
57. So 57 games.
No, it doesn't scare me.
Okay.
Okay, and then we go to the NL West. The Dodgers, you guys both took over 103.5 wins.
Yeah.
Josh, you think they're going to break the 116-game record, the win record? The Diamondbacks, you guys both had over. Disrespectful, 83.5. The Giants, you both had under, 82.5. You had the Padres as the number three team in the NL West. Nick, you have them over the 81.5. Josh, you have them over the 81.5 too, begrudgingly.
Because
you ride with your boy, of course. And then the Astros, not the Astros. You put the Astros twice on this rundown.
Oh, I did. I did.
And then the Rockies, you guys both had under 59.5.
Yeah, they stink.
Okay.
I tried to make that clear before.
Anything else you guys want to say before we adjourn for the AL and NL West?
You don't have to be... picking teams because of
and he's offended. Don't be offended.
I wouldn't do it for you. If that
well,
was
I think
no,
but you said you, I'm not.
We
I'm
admitted
not,
it's the high variance team, right?
I don't like, have a thing either way. Like I'm not like
were,
sold on the under.
No, I'm saying be honest. Set, be honest.
But like, if I was honest with you, I think your pitching rotation is mediocre. Could be good. I think your bullpen is mediocre. Could be decent. I think your lineup is good.
I think logically, the way that you approach the rest of the NL West, it would make sense for the Padres to go over the 81.5. Because if you think the Giants aren't going to be good, you think the Rockies are going to suck.
Yeah.
It's a good chance that the Padres do what they need
to
do.
Yeah, they break 500, right?
Okay.
And ultimately, like, look, they're gonna play competitive ball against the Diamondbacks. Maybe not the Dodgers because they always have their way with us in the regular season. But yeah. It doesn't matter until you get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was our MLB preview. We will hit the Central divisions at another time. So
that's
going to
be really
that.
Exciting.
I think that one will be a little drearier. All right. For the charity stripe, it's free throws because they're free.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.